Jesus' parables often refer to how people on the margins of society are treated, how they're helped or cared for, how they're fed or welcomed, but also how they're stereotyped and shunned and turned away. The lost sheep and the prodigal son and the good Samaritan, they are all examples for teaching how to love people in this world and how to get past the stereotypes and skin color and brokenness. And often when that brokenness is rooted in addictions of some sort, or also the parables speak to how to get past the fear of the stranger and our own self-righteousness, and all so that we might be able to just see each other as human beings. There's a church in Vancouver, it's called First United Church, it's East Vancouver, and they have a program there, a community ministry. It's become the epicenter of the converging of all the crises that are happening in Vancouver. On the east side, there's mental health, addiction, extreme poverty, homelessness, and marginalization. It's all in this one place, severe. Well, in this ministry the church offers, the people gather there for help. And they are those with literally, absolutely nowhere else to go. They may have spent all they have had. Every support is used. They have been rejected by other shelters, by mental health support systems, hospitals, even their own families. They are cast out. And they're at their all-time low. They are lower than they ever imagined they could be. But they are welcome in that place. The executive director of the program is Reverend Dr. Carmen Lansdowne, who says that they are the most regulated and constricted members of our society, and says, every day since I started at First United, there has been a moment when I am surprised by joy. Like, these were the examples, watching two participants in our weekly spirit circle move through hostility to forgiveness towards one another and others, and they just felt joy afterwards. Another example offered was seeing the brother of a young woman who was murdered on the Picton farm sweeping the steps because he knows the role the staff play there in advocating for missing and murdered women in their community. And again, it is about seeing joy. The Reverend Doctor says, when we shift our view of that notorious downtown east side of Vancouver from the negative to the positive, then we receive the joy of seeing growth and community, not just poverty and addiction and despair. And the doc adds, I am filled with gratitude for the opportunity to serve this community, and I hope to be always surprised by joy in this place. It sounds like a heavenly place to be, of welcome and inclusivity and forgiveness and just love for one another. And that's the joy. And you and I are part of making that joy happen through our mission and service dollars. But just think of the acceptance, the welcome, the forgiveness, the love, the true caring that is offered and modeled, graciously and generously given and learned in such a place that shows joy and shares joy, and it is there for evidence of their compassion and their interrelationship with one another. In today's reading, Jesus responded to the Pharisees grumbling about him, grumbling because of his eating and mixing with the marginalized, the hated, the poor, the sinners of his day, much like, say, the mentally ill or the First Nations people or those with addictions that we just heard about. He tells parables in response, parables that demonstrate in each case something has been lost and then found, and when it's found, you celebrate and feel the joy. And the return of that lost thing is also in the mending of relationships with justice, and that too is a cause for celebration and joy. The lost items in each case are meant to represent sinners who repent, the outcast, the rejected ones who are welcomed back to the heart of God, forgiven and reconciled and celebrated. But there's always a twist, right? It might also mean those who have had to learn to welcome in those outcasts as fellow human beings, those who have had to learn to find them as fellow human beings in a common humanity, and that with them they have been lost and they too are now found. When Jesus tells these stories, he gives details that invite the hearer to relate to the characters in his stories, in his parables, really, the whole Bible is about who do you relate to. This story of the lost son who returns would have recalled for his Jewish hearers many of the stories of Genesis, of sibling rivalry, Cain and Abel, and that didn't work out well, did it? Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, think of those stories. It's all about sibling rivalry and what happens when one son is favored over another. These stories were faithful to the gritty truths of families. These stories are faithful to the gritty truth of our families, too. We're all families and all human. But the sinners and the richly unclean around Jesus would have related to the younger brother, inviting them to see how they had squandered God's gifts to them, to repent and seek forgiveness and be assured there would be a joyous welcome awaiting them when they turn back to God. Just think, the prodigal son was feeding pigs. That showed how far he'd fallen, as the Jews considered pigs unclean. He was at his lowest of lows, just like the people in Vancouver's east side. Now the Pharisees, they would have seen themselves, or they should have seen themselves, in the older brother, who was sulking around outside the party, the older brother who'd always been faithful to the father, doing what he was supposed to do, doing it well, being faithful. But instead of seeing it this way, instead of seeing themselves as loved and being held and that there was grace and gratitude for who they are, they saw themselves as dutiful slaves. Their perception and their attitude was all skewed, and because of that, they begrudged the party for the returning son. They saw themselves as the entitled ones, not those outcasts or cast-offs, not those on the streets of the parable. But they were those who were advantaged and successful in life. They had done what was right, continued to do what was right. Therefore, they were entitled to all the good blessings of life and from the Father. So the question, as the stories always ask us, who do you relate to? Do you relate to that older brother at times? Do you relate to the younger brother? Do you relate to the father at all? Do you relate to that father that is being invited to forgive and welcome home his son? But the other questions we're asked is, who do we despise or reject or avoid or discriminate against or banish, as the Pharisees did to the sinners and the marginalized? Or like those in the streets of downtown Eastside Vancouver or Whitby, who might be or what might be our path back to the Father, the one who holds the party with joy for the son who comes home? Or, let's spin it around, can we here together be the Father? Be God incarnate in this sacred space, welcoming in and welcoming home all those who have nowhere else to go, that are at their very end? Or do we relate to the wasteful son? And if so, what exactly have we wasted? What have we squandered, misused, or abused? How are we like the son who wasted what was given to him that could have been there for his offspring in the future? Many people today look at that question in particular and suggest that we are the son who has wasted the world, damaged our world. It is what has been left to us where we inherit. That's our inheritance that we have squandered. Wasted the farmlands, damaged the world, destroyed the rivers, polluted the seas, killed the forests and the animals. And the way back to forgiveness and reconciliation is then through healing and mending the world. And the natural world in the places where we've taken advantage of the gifts that we should be leaving or bequeathing to our kids. But a healing world, well, that's what would be worth a party of joy. Imagine that. Imagine when those who are broken in their understanding of the interrelatedness of all things can suddenly be awakened to their brokenness and their actions changed and turned to, well, maybe sweeping the steps to help those who are helping others, just like at First United in Vancouver. When they work there together, they'd work together to change even the view of that notorious downtown east side Vancouver where not many people really want to ever go. They change it from bad to joy. They change it from a mess to a cleanup in some way. And isn't that like cleaning up the mess of the world, cleaning up our own life messes, but finding forgiveness and wholeness and peace again? And what if What if we are the Pharisees after all, despising those on the margins? How can we be restored then to right relationship with them? How can we all come back to the party of inclusivity and acceptance and welcome and celebration and joy as just one humanity on one beautiful world? How can we all see ourselves and all of creation and all people everywhere just as children of God and everything, all of nature, as the works of God, even as the gifts of God, from God and to and for each other? That's the inheritance. It's a really big shift in thinking, for sure. It's a big shift in praying, but it's a big shift in doing, too. But then, isn't that what it's all about? And isn't that what Jesus' parable is all about? And isn't that what Lent is really all about? Think and pray and do. So may we wrestle with the gift of the parable and open ourselves to seeing ourselves in the Son who squandered and came back and made amends. Let's see ourselves in the Son who begrudged his brother and salt, but who comes to see love instead. That is the hope there. And let us also come to see ourselves in the Father, who, totally out of character and proper behavior for a father in those days, forgives the trespasses, and he runs and kisses his son with excitement and joy. A regular father wouldn't have done that in those times. So may we think of ourselves and see ourselves differently, and the way we interact and have respect for and lived with all of creation and those on the margin, and those who think they have it all, and all those whose lives can be and are changed by love. May this be so. May this be the mind that is in us as the mind that is in Christ, and the faith that Christ had. May that be the faith that we have too. Amen.